he could not even go the whole length of his own plan for reaching God. Now, that's the best day in a man's life when he's trying to get there out of his own resources. When he suddenly comes to mistrust and then distrust of his previous intent to arrive at a right relationship with God out of resources originating in himself. He simply cannot do it. It is impossible. It cannot be done. And the sooner a man finds out, the better off he is, because the better a chance at the grace of God he then has. We call this man the rich young ruler. He was rich. And thus he had the very thing most people apparently want as much as or more than anything else in the world. He was young. And he has the one thing that many people wish they could retain more than anything else in the world. George Bernard Shaw said, "The worst thing about youth is that it's wasted on young people." Now that's one man's opinion. Somebody else said, "If you want to stay young all your life, spend all your time around young people. But if you want to die young, try to keep up with them." Now, this man was young. He was a ruler. Do you know the position he occupied? He occupied the exact same position, basically, that Nicodemus occupied. We don't know of any variation or any difference. They have the same categorical designation in the two cases. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. This man was a ruler. Now, when you put these together, you have a highly unusual combination. And when you put them together with the account that's given of this man in these three Gospels, then you have the picture of an absolutely splendid specimen of good humanity. I want us to see his composite portrait today. First of all, notice his intensity. His intensity. How eager he is. Can you imagine this? Nicodemus holds back and comes in the shades of night. This man came running, and he was in such earnestness before Jesus that he knelt down before him right out in the main street. He was obviously very expectant that he was going to get a reliable answer from Jesus, because he asked the one question that was throbbing at the forefront of his brain at that time. "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Then Jesus checks him at the point of his own goodness. He calls out his ethics, and this man responds in kind. He said, "You talk about ethics, law? I've kept these things from my very youth up. I do not know of a break in the pattern along the way." There's not a broken link in the entire ethical chain. And then he is so exact. He said, "All these commandments have I kept from my youth up." Now, can you imagine anybody like that? I don't believe this man had any falsehood in him. I don't believe he was aware that he was stretching the truth to any degree. I believe he meant just exactly what he said. Can you imagine anybody like this? Would you dare ever place yourself up against this portrait to see how you match up and pretend or profess that you're doing like he did? Anybody here like that? This man was a man of extreme intensity, and yet he had a sense of emptiness. There was a haunting shade in him that something was missing. There was something in him that was craving for something beyond that. And he used the term that undoubtedly he had heard Jesus use, or it had come to him secondhand from Jesus' lips. He said, "What shall I do that I may inherit?" Now get this, eternal life. I want to tell you, it's a splendid day when a rich man asks that question. And it's a splendid day when a young man asks that question. How many of you young men ask that question? How many of you are pursuing that with your very life, the way to eternal life? It's a splendid day when a ruler asks that question. When you put a man in composite together like this and let him frame that question down on his knees out in the roadway, having run to Jesus, I say that's a splendid day. That's a picture of an intense man. Now, secondly, note the innocence of this man. He's highly religious. He talks freely about the commandments. And when he's placed under the pale of their searchlight, he still says, "No problem." He comes not only thinking about the commandments, but bent on eternal life, the most momentous quest a human being can be on. He's highly religious. He's very reverent. He says, "Good Master." And he kneels before Jesus. He's very reasonable. "I've heard about eternal life. It's throbbing back in my mind. It's coming to the forefront again and again. I've reasoned my way out to this. I think I've got it in my grasp by my performance. But I want to know, what have I got to do? Is there any additional thing that I must do that I have previously omitted from my life?" Let me also add, and be careful with this word, this man was right. He was right. But he's like so many religious people who are right. He was dead right. And that's the biggest problem. That intrudes into the picture something else. Thirdly, I want you to notice his ignorance. His ignorance. This was a radically ignorant man. Reminds me of the boy who said one day to his friend, he said, "My girl's been ignoring me, and if there's anything I can't stand, it's ignorance." Well, this man had ignorance. He was characterized by ignorance. Just look at him and note how ignorant he was. First, he was ignorant of sin. I'm stupefied at how ignorant most people are of sin. They have no idea as to what sin is. They have no concept of it whatsoever that would match the revelation of God. I'm amazed at how church people can be in church all their lives and they have absolutely no concept of the absolute total depravity of a human being. And they invariably do just exactly what this man does. There's got to be some credit in being good. I've matched up to some standards. I'm better than most of my peers. God must pay attention to that. Or as a woman said to me recently, talking about another woman, she said, she is so good that God would have to give her a favorable introduction into heaven. I did not respond because it was a very touchy situation. But inside my heart, I melted because I realized she was speaking for that person, and that's that person's hope of heaven. And there is none. None whatsoever. This man didn't even understand sinfulness. Why, knowing the law, he should have picked that verse out of Jeremiah that says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and nobody can know it but God. Do you know that about yourself? Your heart's deceitful. It's deceitful above all things. It's wicked. It's desperately wicked, and nobody knows how bad your heart is but the person who gave you that innocent good heart to start with in the form of Adam, and then he plunged us all into sin. God's the only one that knows the condition of sin, and he spells it out plainly to us. This man was ignorant of self. You see, he had very carefully skirted the responsibility of self-examination and self-reflection in favor of self-congratulation, and he constantly was trying to break his arm, patting himself on the back. He had an overgood opinion of himself. Now, the man who is full of himself can contain nothing else. And the only person God cannot fill is the person who comes to him already filled with himself. He did not understand himself. He was ignorant of himself. Then this man was ignorant of salvation. What did he think salvation was? It's something I deserve. It's something I earn. It's something I gain by my own performance, and that's all it is. He said, "Is there something else that I should do? You just name it and I'll get about it." And he used the word, according to Mark, he used the word inherit. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, he should have known that an inheritance is not gained by merit. An inheritance is something passed down, something given. Something that the person does not earn, but he gains by relationship. And that's what salvation is. Something that you receive by relationship. It is not a matter of religion, as this man thought. It is a matter of responsible relationship, where you are rightly related with God through Jesus Christ. And in that relationship, you have everlasting life. Now listen carefully. Have you looked over that list well enough to know? Now listen. Out of the 6 commandments Jesus gave, a man could be an avowed and absolute atheist and yet fulfill every one of those commandments. Every one of them. Now, not in spirit, but in the letter of the law. He could be an avowed atheist and fulfill every one of those commandments. This man should have known that. There is no credit to a man in saying, "I have done what God wants me to do." Jesus Christ said, "When you've done what you're supposed to, bow down before God and say, 'I'm still an unprofitable servant.'" You cannot get there that way. He was ignorant of salvation. Then he was ignorant of spirituality. He apparently had none. He had cold and calculating goodness. The kind that Paul was talking about when he said, "For a good man, perhaps for a righteous man, none would die, but for a good man, some would even dare to die." This man was coldly righteous, the kind that is repulsive to you. And he'll come at you with the cutting edge of his religiosity.